Good morning, listeners. Achieving excellence in ministry through effective Christ-centered leadership and living. This remains a theme that we are focusing on in this series of messages. Today, we will continue examining Paul's commitment as a leader. We'll examine the attitude that he had and how it manifested in his leadership. It is widely acknowledged that servant leadership is leadership at its best. This is so because it exemplifies the leadership style of none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Matthew 20:25-28. As Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified, the mother of James and John requested that her sons be given preferred seats next to him in the kingdom of heaven. These two disciples and their mother had become preoccupied with status rather than serving. They had completely missed the whole point of Jesus' servant leadership, which he had demonstrated before them for 3.5 years. He is the ultimate example of servant leadership. He left the glories of heaven, not only to join his creation, but to take on the lowly form of a servant and became obedient to the point of death, death on a cross, fulfilling his purpose of coming to serve and not to be served. Paul, likewise, unlike these two disciples, fully embraced servant leadership. This was brought out in his life and ministry and recorded in his writing. Paul, a bond servant, slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. "I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Romans 1:1-2 and 15-16. Paul introduces the book of Romans by profiling himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He clearly indicated that before he was an apostle or preacher of the gospel, he was a servant. This portrayed the most complete illustration of leadership in the New Testament. Leaders lead because they serve, and serve because they lead. Paul uses the Greek word doulos in speaking about himself as a slave or bondservant of Jesus Christ, which implied a servant who had willingly and legally bonded himself to a master. This form of introduction of himself was used by Paul in Philippians 1:1. "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons." And in Titus 1:1, "Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness." The Old Testament gives the Hebrew background for the concept of servant leadership for life in Deuteronomy 15:1-23. It was required that those who had slaves must release them in the 7th year. When it came time for a master to release a slave, that slave had 2 choices: accept his freedom or remain to serve the master by choice. To stay as a love slave made him far more useful since he served willingly. Paul had a love slave relationship which defined his servant attitude, which he described in Romans 1:14-16. First, he said of himself, "I am a debtor," verse 14. This meant he considered himself as having a debt to pay. That wasn't a debt that he had to pay to the Lord, but to people. He felt strongly that he owed those who hadn't heard the gospel. This was brought out clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 9:19-23. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partake of it with you." Paul's passionate commitment to Jesus Christ is a prime example of a master-slave relationship. It resulted from a commitment to win the lost at any cost. He was willing to be flexible in his approach in order to reach everyone with the gospel because he believed that he owed it to them. Do we in our time consider ourselves debtors to all people, having an obligation to share the gospel with them? How about the despised, downtrodden, and seemingly forgotten ones living in communities where their rights are compromised by the power structures that exist there? What about those in high places who are materially well off and think they have no need of the gospel? What about those who are in between these two extremes? Effective Christ-centered leaders cross boundaries in order to pay the debt of sharing the gospel with people. They imitate the Lord Jesus, who crossed the racial and gender divide in ministering to the ostracized Samaritan woman, recorded in John 4. He broke the barrier of entrenched prejudice against exploiters and reached out to the despised tax collectors, Matthew and Zacchaeus. Second point. In Romans 1:15, Paul said, "I am ready." He had a burning passion and zeal and gave himself to the cause of preaching the gospel by choice, having been chosen by God. This enthusiasm to serve as a slave of Jesus Christ was born out of a heart that had experienced the manifold grace of God. Immediately upon his conversion, he was ready to preach Christ, whose church he once persecuted and was literally unstoppable. Leaders lead from the front. They know the way, go the way, and show the way, according to John Maxwell. It is little wonder that Paul's influence was so widespread and pervasive. He was ready, prepared, and fully committed to fulfill his purpose, always reflecting his desire expressed in Philippians 3 verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed to his death." Third point. As a true servant leader, Paul declared, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Romans 1 verse 16. And why not? Because he knew that the gospel was the only power that could transform lives. He had personally experienced that transformation. He had seen countless men and women experience it. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, he boldly said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." he felt compelled to preach and live the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ boldly and unashamedly. How about you? Are you prepared to identify as a slave of Jesus Christ and to adopt his servant leadership posture? If so, you must be willing to say like Paul, "I am a debtor. I owe it to all within my sphere of influence to share the gospel with them." You must be willing to say, "I am ready. I have a passion to reach people for Christ." You must say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am willing to accept it as a power of God for my salvation." I challenge you to commit your life to Jesus Christ and to be totally committed as his bondservant, just like Paul was.